Hey, Chasev, thank you for coming in today. And you've done remarkable things in the last 8 years as director of the ITU Standardization Bureau. And in fact, it's resonated to really the entire over 8 billion population, which is the forecasted population of the world by the end of 2022. And across every conceivable domain that I can think of, I work with CEOs and they talk about your great work. I talk with investors, they say the same thing. I talk with scientists and notable experts globally, and they're always saying that, the ITU and the Standardization Bureau is just remarkable accomplishments and engagement. So really, that's a credit to your past 8 years in leadership, Dr. Lee. So thank you for coming in.
Yeah, thank you very much, Stephen. I'm a little bit, excited because listening to this, what you meant of this, all the wonderful world. But I have to say, with all our colleagues' support, especially there's many newcomers, new communities, they are delighted to use this ITU, especially ITUT, as their platform. So I believe this is a collective result, collective effort and collective result. So I'm taking this opportunity, I'm also my sincere appreciation to all those who contributed to the ITUT's work. Is this just a result? Is I've got a very good luck.
Yeah, and it's, very remarkable. So, my interviews are unscripted, so we're just going to go with the flow of how this is. You've completed 8 years now, or just about to complete 8 years with the Standardization Bureau as the head of that bureau. And it's the oldest bureau within the ITU. It dates back, I guess, over 155 years now or something like that. So, And what are your plans next? What do you hope to accomplish next?
As you said, this year is my last year as a TSB director. Following the ITU's rule, we are allowed these 2 terms for the same position. During the last 8 years, what I learned is the importance of ICT is really, really highlighted. Which means, as a naturally, the importance of ITU's role is also highlighted because ITU is a UN special agency, have a responsibility for ICT development. And we have more requests, not only for the digital gap issue, we have more requests of this inclusion and also extend of this our subject. So for more public oriented or public responsible. So taking into account of this all the result, I think it could be good to continue my contribution based on my experience. So I'm now challenging for the Deputy Secretary General at the coming plenipotentiary. Just for the information of those who are not familiar with this ITU structure, we, ITU, as a UN special agency, we have 5 elected officers to leading of this overall ITU operation, Secretary General and the Deputy Secretary General, and the 3 bureau directors. Each bureau has a responsible for, currently, I'm responsible for the technical standard development called the TSB, and another one is the radio bureau as a responsible for the radio development. Another bureau is supporting the developing countries. So we call the development bureau. So 5 elected officers working together. So now I'm finishing my functions and roles in TSB director. And now I challenge for the Deputy Secretary General.
So that's really interesting. I mean, it's just such a natural progression from being the director of the Standardization Bureau to now being the Deputy Secretary General of the ITU. And as you mentioned, the elections will take place at the plenipotentiary conference 2022, or something called PP22, which is held in Bucharest, Romania, on the 26th of September to October 14th. 2022. Now, as a candidate, and you declared your candidacy for the position of Deputy Secretary General of the ITU, you know, what is your vision? What is your platform that you want to accomplish? And you know, what are the pillars as a candidate?
For summary, as shown in my use of this, my virtual background, as a candidate, what I propose as my vision is building a trusted ICT platform. This is kind of some of my learnings and my experience for the last 8 years. ICT, as I said, ICT become more important. It's more than now. We call this a connectivity issue, connecting to the unconnected people. So connectivity is very important and become essential. But actually, this the role of ICT is now becoming matter of life. We get some of witnessed that during the pandemic, how many communities, industries, they rely on the ICT, use of ICTs. So I want to call of this ICT is now becoming essential part of a matter of life. The issue is how we can ensure this our ICT infrastructure is resilient and ICT environment is trust. Trust becoming of this important subject, especially we have many years of this suffering this untrusted information, how this is, twisted the world and how individual person has a deep suffering of this untrusted or some biased information. So having with this experience, I set my, as a candidate, my vision is a trusted ICT platform. Actually, this the platform means in two directions. ITU as a UN agency, ITU itself is a trusted platform because ITU, one of the important role of ITU is definitely we develop of this ICT, but as a collaboration platforms, use of ICT to collaborate with other UN organizations, definitely with our members and the industries. So ITU becoming trusted platform is so important because it's an enhance of this our collaboration, coordination, definitely inclusion. So this is one sense of why I said of this trusted platform. And also with ITU's engagement, we really wish to ICT becoming really important trusted platform. We are now talking about digital transformation, many buzzwords, looking for the future. All this, I believe we need ICT itself is becoming trusted platform. This is a way to enhance our convergence or transformation of digital transformation. Definitely including of this all the digital gaps or something social subject like a climate change issue, waste management, many other things, how they use of this ICT as their technical platform or their collaboration platform. Definitely, we need many, many elements, but should be trusted platform. So this is what I claim of this building a trusted ICT platform as my vision. Under this vision, I pick up three pillars. The first one is building resilient global ICT ecosystem. So ICT ecosystem should be resilient to support of this all corner of the world. Second one is upgrade core competence. Because ITU, we are the UN agency responsible for the ICT development. So ITU itself, we are ready to support our members. We are ready to collaborate with others. We are ready to bring our value to the world. If not the case, we are really big trouble. Even this is against of this, again, the trusted platform. Last but not least of this, strengthen on ITU. As I said, ITU, we are city bureaus and the five elected officers operated. We called this federated model. So how working together with this General Secretariat and city bureaus is a very important subject. We called One IQ. So I think it's with my experience the last 8 years, strengthen One IQ is very useful contribution of this revival of this IQ's role more efficiently, effectively. So those are my summary. Sorry for the little long, but those are my summary.
You know, it's actually quite remarkable. As I mentioned to the audience, you're nearing, 160 years, the ITU in some form, really helping with digital transformation and the embedding in the standards of ICT globally, even back close to 160 years ago. And in fact, now, this whole aspect of ICT being embedded everywhere, it's profound. In fact, no country in the world, no community, company, industry, nonprofit can engage today without having ICT embedded in it somehow. And so that's where this building a trusted ICT platform would be so important from an ITU standpoint, because ITU has been the center of this for many, many years. In fact, you even predate the IEEE, which goes back about 134 years. So, And then, you know, you talk about building a resilient global ICT ecosystem. Well, resilience really came to fore with some of the changes that occurred in the last few years. It's put a lot of stress on ICT globally, and now we know the importance of resilience globally as well. So I can see why that's such an important pillar and working together. And then, as you mentioned, upgrading the core competencies of ITU, which you have so many, by making sure they're current and in line in this collaborative, transformative platform, working with your trusted UN and research communities and business community partners. And in fact, you're really quite unique in this, really reaching out to all the different stakeholders, because you've had to, being a standards-based organization for, you know, about 160 years. And this aspect of you have these different parts or business units within the ITU, and that making sure there's a strengthening of working together. So did I capture that right in terms of your vision?
Yes, yeah, that's quite right. A very good summarize of this, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, you are an ICT organization fundamentally, and it really is backed by your education and your background as well. I mean, you hold a master's in pattern recognition and robotics, and you have a PhD in multimedia engineering. So that's an ICT background. I mean, you can't even get more ICT than that. So now let's mine some of the things that you've done as you know, as the director of the ITU Standardization Bureau. Can we talk about some of the things that you did in the past? Because that really indicates that you execute. You're not just thinking and conceiving of ideas, but you're actually executing. So can you talk about some of the development of telecom and ICT technologies and services that you've been involved with directly? For example, I know next generation networks is one of them, but Can you describe some of the others?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's really, the time is really fast. It's already 35 years I engage with this ICT development. I started my professional life in the 1986 with that's the moment of this, how we can transform of this analog switching system to the digital switching systems. We call the ISDN. I started at that time. Because of this, my background is engineering background. I very fortunate to engage with this, most of this ICT development from the middle of the 1980s. We tried to develop broadband services at the time, so-called ATM. We have some long debate between ATM and IP. But anyhow, I was engaged with this ATM development, and afterwards, how to transforming of this telephone networks to IP-based network. That is exactly what you're referring, next generation networks. I engaged with that as someone called me as a father of engine, because I started this concept from 1998. And then this engine group was formally forming in year 2004 under ITUT. I took up this chairmanship of this engine group. I operated of this engine around 10 years. So this is one of the, my part of this the technical engagement. But after the engine, we are expanded to the scope to go support of many other areas. But very recently, we have more, you know, the request for the how to utilize of ICTs. Especially during my 8 years as a TSB director, I got a benefit to look at this again of this the fast development of ICT, like 5G is came to us, and how to support the fixed networks to 5G, how to utilize of this 5G, and in addition, AI machine learning is back to us. Even I was really a great benefit. When I had my master grade paper, 1985, it was already, my paper was AI and robots. So I was very surprised. Oh, AI has come back. Okay, maybe I'm ready. So we start with your support, many other colleagues' support. 5 years ago, we start AI for good. Under my leadership, it was a great success. Now I'm very, very proud myself. AI for good is becoming global trusted platform for AI discussions, and it is becoming also action platforms to you know, initiate or realize of AI related many important subject. So that is part of this my achievement at the last around 35 years. So I called this is a technical part. So I have you know, as a technical engineer, living such a, you know, big change of ICT or telecom domains, I think as I lived three different circles, as I said, digital switching systems and the broadband and the old IP. Now we have another one now coming. So I live of such a, three cycles of my life is a great opportunity for me. And then, especially the last 8 years as a TSB director, I have a very great, and let me say, excellent experience how to collaborate, coordinate with other other verticals or other UN systems. Because of this TSB director, his mandate is to extend ITUT's product, ITUT's values, and also how to incorporate the other communities to, you know, to bring up this all the cohesive result to the over this ITU. Last 8 years with this AI for good is one of the critical examples how I can extend of this collaboration, because AI for good is now 40 UN organizations working together. It's great. And the Smart Sustainable City that's under the U4S, United for Smart Sustainable City concept, is again 17 UN organizations working together. Another one is a digital health, like AI for health, is a collaboration with between ICT community, medical community, and with collaborating with the WHO. So, and also digital financial service, financial inclusion, is a collaboration with the World Bank and the Central Bank, supported by Bill and Melinda Gates Foundations. So I have several the collaboration, coordination experience, not just the high-level aspect, but also implementation. All I meant of this is really implemented in many countries, many cities, like Smart Sustainable City, around 200 cities, they are implemented based on our standard. So that is my achievement, if I say this achievement during last 35 years. So technical element and the political element. So now I call myself technopolitician. I becoming technopolitician. Someone questioned me of this. Oh, why this? And the first time to hear that, but I called myself, I don't want to be polytechnician because I'm a technical engineer. But technopolitician, as a, this is my value, bring to the bring as a deputy secretary general, technology based, good knowledge of this technical experience, bring to the political discussions. I believe this is a very useful contribution.
You know, so let me sort of give some perspective. I'll try to summarize what you've talked about. So you talked about starting as a researcher at Korea Telecom in 1986, and then after 17 years, you went to the Electronic and Telecommunications Research Institute, or ITRI, which is really famous. Yeah. It's one of the foremost research institutes in the world, where you were there for 8 years. And then you went to the Korean Advanced Institute for Science and Technology, KAIST, again, very, very famous, where you're a senior advisor, and then into future planning with the Korean ministry. And Korea is actually ranked number one in many, many areas now. And in that journey of Korea becoming number one in so many different areas, that you were part of that process, you and your colleagues, and of course, constantly collaborating. In fact, when I work internationally with different governments, they always mention how collaborative Korea is, how much they share, South Korea shares what they know. And so I can see that aspect in the work that you do now. You're very collaborative. You work with CEOs, you work with investors, you work with the other UN agencies, you work with country governments, and you're very collaborative and reaching out. And I guess that's where you talked about sort of the technical part, but also this collaborative part, or you call it the political part of being a leader. And then in terms of your contribution, you know, you worked in diverse areas as next generation networks, IPTV, cloud computing. You mentioned fixed networks and machine learning for 5G. In fact, you knew the importance of this because you have a robotics background. So you know, it's interesting how this background you had in the 80s comes to fore in post 2000, and you have focus groups around this area. And of course, the application of emergent technologies like quantum science and blockchain and AI machine learning into telecom and ICTs. And then you mentioned this AI for Good program, which is actually being adopted by governments formally, like Switzerland has an AI for Good program. Corporations like Microsoft, research institutes also have incorporated this, and foreign UN agencies as partners. Again, this collaborative aspect that you talked about, companies collaborative with them, countries collaborative with them. And then of course, Financial Inclusion Global Initiative, which again is one of the ones that you launched in the Road Safety Initiative across countries. And you know, so you've also initiated programs and executing for enhanced collaboration coordination through practical implementation. And for example, hands-on training programs or bridging the standardization gap. Can you talk more about that? And then also regional groups or study groups and supporting accessibility. So tell me more about this hands-on training programs or bridging the standardization gap or BSG.
Yeah, thanks for your nice summary as well. You know, I'm responsible for the standard development in ITU. Standard development is not a simple process. The having of technical knowledge doesn't mean, technical expert doesn't mean this become the standard expert, because a standard development process is quite different. Specifically, in this regard, many developing country experts have a certain difficulties because of this lack of experience. You know, there's 100, we have ITU, we have 193 member states. Out of these 193, we understand there's less than 20 member states has enough ability to follow the international standard development in ICT domain. which means around 170 member states, they are not enough resources, experiences. So even when I first attended this ITUT in 1987, I was very hesitated because I had serious difficulties because no one experienced. So I learned step by step. So that's the reason why I take around 28 years in this as a technical expert. Reminding myself, this digital gap is so important. But from standard development of Europe point of view, what is our value? How I can bring the value to practically shorten the digital gap? I think that's a bridging standardization gaps. So I bring over this subject, but not just the teaching by text or by workshop. I brought this hands-on training. So our developed members who are not experienced of this standard development, we bring them minimum 2 days, if we have enough time, 3 or 4 days hands-on trainings, how to writing of this how to forming of this their idea, they clarify the proposal, and how to writing the contributions. We do all this, and then we have actually the simulating of this our study group meetings, like someone propose, someone operant, and the debate continue and the finalize of this report. This kind of things is really helpful for the technical expert, but not experienced of this standard development. With that, I'm very happy some countries who have not enough experience, especially Africa region, they are now becoming our rapporteur, our working party chairs. They bring more valuable contributions because they learn of this, they know how to compromise, how to harmonize during the meeting. So our meeting is getting more efficient, and the members are really appreciative of this program. The another way is how I can bring a practical value to bridge the gap, bridging digital divide, is I initiated of this regional group, because we have a study group. This is main drivers of our standard development, but many of the regions, they have a region-specific requirement. A region have their own use of their own language. Time to time, this region is very specialized. It's difficult to bring directly to the international community, like our main study group. So I started this, one of Africa, creator of this study group 13, their regional group, and they get together in this region, save the money or save the travel cost, but they use of their own language, and they develop, they discuss, they identify some requirement, some of, you know, the architectural or functional request. Then they, if they reach, this is good enough to bring the international community, then they submit a contribution. So with that, the regional group is again contributed to activate the regional discussions. So this is becoming very important platform for expedite or increase of this our international activities. So those are two is my contribution to bridging digital gaps in practical.
Yeah, and I mean, I can clearly see then this whole aspect of accessibility, you know, addressing specific assistance needed for wider and better participation of experts in your ITUT activities. And this speaks to something that's really embedded now into governments. And this is this aspect of DEI, or diversity, equity, and inclusion. So your hands-on training program speaks to that diversity, equity, inclusion. So more countries can get involved. All the mysteries or understanding how to engage in the standardization process through hands-on training is very inclusive and builds for diversity inclusion. Same thing with this regional study group. So we're region specific requirements, again, DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion. So you see that gaps exist everywhere, and you're trying to address that, right? Can you talk more about those gaps?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's even previous means before the pandemic, we normally talk about digital gap. Digital gap is generally, we treated digital gap between developed countries and the developing regions. So certain gaps, how we can fill the digital gaps, that was the main subject. But we now recognize that during the pandemic, especially, gaps everywhere. Like age gaps is very serious. And also this gender gaps, very serious subject. So I want to claim this, you know, gap issue, digital gap is not an issue, not anymore the issue only between developed and developing. So gaps everywhere for everybody. So we have to take into account this. So as I said at the beginning, ICT becoming matter of life. Can you imagine this? With this matter of life, there are certain gaps. We want, really want, nobody, no one behind, no one, you know, excluded from our service. Everybody have more, get the fair, the equal opportunity to use of them. So this is, again, we change our mindset, how we can address all these gap issues, especially digital gaps. Even accessibility is another important subject to support all this, but not just you know, accessibility is like previously we called handicapped people, but you know, everybody become of this. Even myself, I need a certain functions. I need a very special assistance. So we have to do, we have to address. So we now understand all generations have different gaps. So how we can fill all this gap is a very important challenge for our future.
Well, you know, it's become such an important aspect of the world today, and just a remarkable career and continuing to do so in this transformational leadership. And you are so inclusive, you are so collaborative, and you are willing to work towards that collaborative and transformative aspects of what's required in the world today. Quite remarkable, quite outstanding. You are Dr. Chasiv Lee, or Chasiv, as you're doing to your friends and to many. So let me just kind of summarize what we talked about, and then I'll ask for your final sort of conclusions and recommendations to the audience. So first of all, you've been in the field of telecommunications and ICT for 35 years, as a technical expert for 27, and as an elected official of ITU for the past 8 years. And it's really a perfect combination, because you've got a strong ICT background, and you contributed to the development of diverse areas as next generation networks, IPTV, cloud computing, and fixed networks to emerging technologies. You launched initiatives for inclusion, and we talked about AI for Good, the financial inclusion initiative, road safety, and you talked about enhanced collaboration through hands-on training, regional groups, and accessibility and gaps, which is really about diversity and equity and inclusion. And we spoke of your really fundamental background technically, because you've got a master's and a PhD in technical areas, together with serving as a researcher with some of the most famous groups in the world today, like ITRI, and also the Korean Advanced Institute of Technology and Science, and the Korean Ministry. And then, of course, your work as elected of director of the Standardization Bureau, and all that you've done. And, you know, I should mention that during your tenure, you welcomed more than 200 new industry members. So that, again, that speaks to inclusion, diversity, and equity, together with work in 40 UN agencies, for example, with AI for Good. And you brought new members, such as advanced users and developers in ICT. such as using ICT in quantum and esports, digital finance, blockchain, the vehicle industry, medical communities, and collaborate with city communities to develop smart and sustainable cities. It's just outstanding. And then, of course, you now presented your candidacy for the position of Deputy Secretary General of ITU, which will be held at the Plenipotentiary Conference in Romania, December 26th to October 14th. And you said your vision is building a trusted ICT platform and three pillars, resilience, global ICT ecosystem, upgrading core competencies of ITU and strengthening this idea of one ITU. And people can find out more on the ITU website, the PP22 website. ITU has your vision and videos of what you're doing. So again, such a complete and comprehensive history of inclusion, diversity, equity, innovation, initiative, collaborative, brilliant in so many different aspects, but a sharing with your colleagues and a sharing with the world, with countries and different communities and so on. Did I capture what we talked about?
Yeah, as usual, you are very well captured, very well summarized of this from my experience. It's great.
So what I'd like to do now, and this is the final question of our chat, of our open dialogue here, is do you have any sort of other thoughts that you lend to the audience and some recommendations? And that will be the end of our dialogue today.
Yeah, thank you very much again, Otis. ITU as a UN organization, I understand many people, many communities, a certain expectation how UN organizations is really helpful for the world. Critical example is UN Sustainable Development Goals 2030. Why they called 2030 is a target year. Target year. So we are not just talking. Yeah? We want to have set our goal, our objective. So all UN organizations is really step by step working together with this to reach of this objective. So I think it's the important thing of this ITU also how we can practically move. For example, is the digital transformation. This is not a simply gathering binding two words, digital transformation. You know, digital, we need a very clear understanding, very well understanding what is digital technology, how this digital technology influences, how, what kind of new technology, new development will come. We have to understand. Without understanding, talking about digital, maybe it's a waste of time. But also, transformation is a very complicated process. This is a much, much bigger, more than a change. I called this, we need a transformation, need chemical binding. I called the convergences. And then because of this, I believe the transformation need very well understanding of this other industries, other communities, their environment, their regulation, their governance. So this is, if we have both two, we may successfully implement digital transformation. Digital transformation, many areas, digital farming, digital health, so digital finance, many, many areas. We need such a collaboration. ITU should be important role as providing trusted ICT platform. This is a way to facilitate our digital transformation, practical way. So I again highlight my experience as a technical domains, most of these 30 years, most of the subject areas, and my experience as the political, the leadership of this in ITU as an elected officer last 8 years is a very useful contribution to practically move forward of this digital transformation. And definitely, finally, ITU, we need of this voice from our members, voice from our anyone has interested, like this audience. I don't know how many who will are listening of this. I believe this, you have a huge network. It's a good opportunity. anyone have an interesting idea and a good proposal and some of the concerns, finding out this really challenging problems or challenging issues, don't hesitate to contact ITU, because ITU work for the humankind, or the work for the global communities. So this is, again, let me say, ITU, please use your ITU as your trusted ICT platform, and I will be ready to work as a Deputy Secretary General if I successfully elected, and the keeping of this, my vision to implement for the next 4 years.
You know, that's so compelling. It shows commitment and passion and caring, and, you know, just so moving in terms of your vision and the objectives for the benefit of the world and the benefit of humanity, and also the benefit of countries and business communities, and also research communities and education. I mean, it sits across all the different communities and stakeholders are out there. That's your vision. It's just quite remarkable. And you have a remarkable history of bringing together all the communities too, and working in collaboration with all of them. So, you know, Dr. Che Sib Lee, thank you for coming in and sharing your wisdom and your deep insights with our audience.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.